said to me, we aim for wisdom and wit by pairing up an expert historian with a top comedian.
Agrippina the Elder has 11 pregnancies.
That's a good idea for your back.
You're Dead to Me. Download the BBC Sounds app to listen.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's 4 o'clock. Now, for this week's Music Planet, here's Catherine Tickell.
Glorious sounds of 1970s Ghanaian highlife, brass and synthesizers included, from the group Vis-a-Vis, who released over a dozen albums between 1975 and 1982. Kind of a golden era for Ghanaian music, abruptly ended when the military government of the time imposed a dawn-to-dusk curfew on the nation, with many musicians fleeing overseas. The track you just heard comes from the, up till now, rather rare 1977 release, Obi Agye Midofo. It's being reissued at the end of this month on the Canadian label We Are Busybodies. I'm Catherine Tickell, and this afternoon on Music Planet we've got music from Cape Verde, France, by way of Turkey and Brazil, a road trip to Russia, and our classic artist is Norway's Hardanger Fiddle King, Knut Buen. I'll be talking to Katrina McDonald, a Shetland fiddle player who knows him well. But first, here's an Irish fiddler, recorded in a Welsh chapel in London, and we're joining him for the last couple of tunes in this set, one of which was written by a Basque accordion player. And you really get the feeling of a live gig here as the James Patrick Gavin Trio get going with the tunes. Fiddle player James Patrick Gavin, bassist Tim Fairhall and guitarist Adrian Lever, the James Patrick Gavin Trio, with tunes from Ireland and the Basque Country there from their EP Live at the Welsh Chapel, recorded back in those heady pre-COVID days of 2019. Feels like another lifetime sometimes. This is Music Planet on BBC Radio 3 with me, Catherine Tickell. In a few minutes, we'll be heading to the vast plains of Russia with this week's road trip. But before that, you may be aware of the recent explosion of interest in sea shanties on social media, which has been a bit bewildering for many of my folky friends who have been singing them for years with nobody taking much notice. Anyway, on the In Tune programme here on Radio 3 the other day, there was an interview with Scottish postman and singer Nathan Evans, whose sea shanty renditions seem to have sparked off this social media sea shanty craze. And it inspired one listener to get in touch and suggest that we played this song, La Partenza. It was recorded in Italy by Alan Lomax in the 1950s. It's not actually a sea shanty, but it is sung by longshoremen, workers in the harbour at Genoa. Thank you for giving me an excuse to play this. It's absolutely superb. Just listen to those voices and the complexity of the different parts. In the Genoese Cialalero male voice tradition, which this track is from, As well as tenor, baritone and bass voices, you also get, as you'll hear, a male contralto and chitarra, a voice imitating the sound of a guitar. La Partenza, The Parting, recorded back in the 1950s by Alan Lomax, sung there by the Longshoremen of Genoa. You're listening to Music Planet here on BBC Radio 3 with me, Catherine Tickell. And it's been a while since we visited Russia on our Music Planet road trips, but we're returning there now with cultural chronicler and journalist Alexander, or Alex, Khan. Alex hails from St. Petersburg originally, where he was a leading music critic. And for many years, he's been the arts correspondent here in London for the BBC's Russian Language Service. Now, the fortunes of Russian folk music have often been aligned with the authorities' attitude towards it, whether Tsarist, Soviet or the current Russian government. And that story is one that Alex Khan recounts now.
Musicians from St. Petersburg called themselves Otawayo. Their name is hardly translatable, but is a very expressive composite. Otava is an old Slavic word meaning sprigs of fresh new grass where the old one had just been mowed. Yo is a largely neglected letter of the Russian alphabet and also, of course, the hip Quechua, widely used by hip-hoppers the world over. They use a huge arsenal of instruments and sound-making devices, from guitars and fiddles to garmoshka, traditional Russian concertina, and gusli, an old Russian variety of dulcimer, as well as birch tree whisks, music saws, and even axes. Otavayo called their style Russian Gothic Rhythm and Blues, and it is the latest, but certainly not the last, instance of the centuries-old evolution of the Russian musical folklore in the popular culture. That song is the tale of Ivan Groove, but with nary a balalaika inside. That instrument, the balalaika, is what people often think of when they think of Russian folk music, an instrument thought to date back centuries. The paradox, however, is that until the late 19th century, Russian folk musical tradition was virtually unknown, not only in the world, but even amongst the educated Russians, who preferred listening to Italian opera and German Lieder. It was only in the 1880s that nationalist-minded Tsar Alexander III encouraged the reintroduction of Russian ethnic elements into mainstream culture. And it was only then that the balalaika was rediscovered and introduced into a wider use by the enthusiast scholar and musician Vasily Andreev. Thus, virtually from the outset, what we know as Russian folk music, like pretty much everything else in the Russian culture, has existed and evolved under strict supervision, sometimes benevolent, sometimes restrictive of the state, be it Tsarist autocracy, Soviet totalitarianism, or current nationalist-oriented regime. So to understand folk music in Russia today, you need to go back more than a century. After a short post-revolutionary period of state-approved modernism and internationalism, when everything Russian was rejected, under Stalin, the movement was reversed. Traditionalism, and therefore ethnicity, were back in vogue. A Russian choir, founded in 1910 by Mitrofan Pyatnitsky, was revived. At first, the choir, following the trend set up by its founder, was indeed focused on genuine Russian folklore. Here is the pre-World War II recording of a traditional Russian song. Forward some 20 years, and with the increasingly forceful imposition of communist ideology, genuine traditional folk in the repertoire of groups like Pyatnitsky Choir was gradually but persistently replaced by pseudo-folk, pompous songs glorifying Communist Party, Lenin, and the great leader Stalin himself. This perversion of the folk tradition continued through the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. With genuine folk largely forgotten, ignored, and barely surviving among the few remaining babushkas in the countryside. Here's a 1963 recording of the patriotic Song About Motherland by the Pyatnitsky Choir.
Ой, кумушки, кумитися, кумитися, любитися, кумитися, любитися, любите меня. Вы пойдите.
At around the same time as the folk revival in Britain from the 1960s, inspired by the relative post-Stalin relaxation and liberalization of culture, which came to be known as the Thaw, folk music scholars, musicians, and other cultural figures set out to reveal and revive the genuine Russian folklore. Enthusiasts went on expeditions to the countryside to make field recordings of folk songs as performed by the surviving carriers of the tradition. The great Russian director Andrei Tarkovsky was so impressed by these discoveries that he included the recording of the song Kumushki, as sung by Olga Sergeyeva, a peasant woman from Pskov region, into his 1982 film Nostalgia.
Вы будете воду и венки кидать, укиньте вы мне. И ваши венки поверху плыли, а мой на дно с войны пришли, а мой не пришел. Он сам не идет, письма и не шлет, забыл про меня.
The late 1960s, conservatory trained folk scholar and musician Dmitry Pokrovsky founded an ensemble from his conservatory students that used the techniques of open-throat ethnic singing. They went even further, and with that newly discovered method, performed several vocal pieces by Igor Stravinsky, which were the great Russian composer's interpretations of traditional Russian songs. When Stravinsky composed them, they could only be performed by classical opera singers, unable to really use the intuitive vocal techniques of genuine folk singers. In the Pokrovsky ensemble performance, these songs acquired a genuine folk sound, quite probably the one Stravinsky aspired to achieve, but never could at the time. Here's a number from Stravinsky's 1914 song cycle Priboutki, as performed by the Pokrovsky ensemble. Professional composers were so intrigued and inspired by Pokrovsky's innovations that they started composing for the ensemble using the patterns of traditional Russian music. In 1996, Vladimir Martinov, who started in the 1970s as a proponent of minimalism, composed a major piece, Nights in Galicia, based on the poems of the early 20th century Russian futurist poet Velimir Khlebnikov. Here's a fragment of the piece called Nymphs, as performed by the Pokrovsky ensemble. The pop world did not stay indifferent to the changing attitudes. As early as in 1980, Alexander Gratsky, one of the pioneers of Russian rock, who due to his conservatory training gained the status of professional singer-songwriter, released an album called Russian Songs with some extraordinary, unthinkable for the time, vocal interpretations of traditional Russian songs. Here's one called Lament. With time, more and more performers have rediscovered Russian folk traditions, incorporating them into their own styles. Evelyn Petrova is a conservatory-trained accordionist, and for a number of years, she worked with jazz trumpet player and composer Vyacheslav Gajvaronsky. Before remembering songs she had heard from her grandmother, she recorded a remarkable solo album called Year's Cycle, 12 pieces, each corresponding to a month of the year. Here's the march song called The Skomarovs, medieval Russian jesters and harlequins.
Yeah.
In the new century, folk influences have become virtually all-pervasive. St. Petersburg-based female punk group Ivanova created their own version of folk punk, evident both in music and in their outrageous image. Here's their ostentatiously coarse, bristly interpretation of the traditional song Zhenki, Wifeys. I want to conclude our story about the evolution of Russian folk song with a group that brings together the age-old ethnic tradition with most contemporary musical forms of electronics, trance and ambient. Moscow-based group Volga, their name of course borrowed from the Great Russian River, explores little-known songs from the 16th and 17th centuries and wraps their lead singer Angela Manoukian's Rocco's vocal rendition into dense electronic sound. This music is called Volga Mother.
The music of Moscow folk group Volga, with the song Volga Mother, ending that road trip to Russia with Alexander Kahn, looking at how folk music and the state in Russia have often been intertwined. Our thanks to Alex. If you enjoyed that, head over to BBC Sounds, where you can download that feature, along with all the other Music Planet road trips for your listening pleasure. And of course, the road trips are a perfect way to virtually and safely explore the world. So we can't travel at the moment, but looking forward to a time when we can, get your sunglasses on and imagine that you're driving in an open-top car in the mountains above the French Riviera.
Feels me. separó. Y hasta los limones saben que nos queremos los dos. Que me lo llevan todo, que no me dejen nada. Me llevaron la pura, la tarde, el pinche y la cabezada. Le, 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 le. Le, 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 le. Un albañil se cayó de lo alto de un andamio. Y en el medio del camino, ahí se paró a echar un cigarro. Que me lo lleven todo, que no me dejen nada. Me llevaron la pura, la tarde, el pinche y la cabezada. Ay, le, 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 le. Ya, ya va la despedida en un cascarón de nuez. Como soy tan pequeñito, me voy a embarcar en él. Que me lo llevan todo, que no me dejen nada. Me llevaron la pura, la tarde, el pinche y la cabezada. Le, 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 le.
Down, down, down.
Fertile Ground, from a new album by the multi-instrumental Californian duo of Evan Fraser and Ver McCoy, featuring the voice of Chloe Smith of Rising Appalachia. Before that, a traditional Spanish dance with Luna Silva from the new Making Tracks Live tour release, which is coming out soon, and I'm hoping to play you more of that album over the coming months. And if you can cast your minds back to the first of those three tracks, you heard the psychedelic Tropicália-infused sounds of London-based duo Kit Sebastian with a track called Ennui, a feeling we've surely all become familiar with this last year in dealing with the pandemic. You're listening to Music Planet with me, Catherine Dekel. And now here's something from the series set up by the Sahel Sounds label, Music from Saharan WhatsApp. And each month, a different music group from the Sahel region records themselves on a mobile phone, sends the audio through WhatsApp, and it's uploaded to Bandcamp for 1 month only. I'll play you December's offering, and I was assuming that this was probably the last one, but it does have the title Music from Saharan WhatsApp 11. So I'm hoping that there's another month of it. It's been a great series. It feels like a really direct connection between artist and listener. Anyway, this band, Oyewane, are from Agadez in Niger. They formed at primary school in 1985 and they're well known throughout the country. Their songs tackle the themes of development, education and modern nomadic life. This is their song, Diversity.
Sente when
Niger's Oyewane with Diversity from Sahel Sounds, Music from Saharan WhatsApp series. I'm Catherine Tickell, you're listening to Music Planet, and our classic artist this week is Norwegian hardanger fiddle player Knut Buen. Knut is now in his 70s and is an absolute legend in his homeland. I first heard him playing when I was about 13 years old, and I'm lucky to be joined now by someone who knows him very well, Shetland fiddle player Katrina MacDonald. Thanks for joining us, Katrina.
No bother at all. Glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about Knut and his musical background.
Yeah, so Knut, you really cannot say in a kind of big enough way how he sits within this tradition of hardangerfele music. He is a Renaissance man, and as well as playing the fiddle amazingly well, he's a composer. He's composed lots of tunes. He has a publishing company. He collects folklore from the Telemark region, and he's also a poet and an artist. So, you know, it's not just the music that he's connected to. He really sits within a lot of the different beautiful traditions.
And you mentioned the hardangerfele. That's, of course, the hardanger fiddle. Tell us about that instrument and what makes it so special.
Yeah, so the hardangerfele is Norway's national instrument. Supposedly it's come in some ways and been influenced by the viol da gamba and some of the baroque early instruments. So its formation took hundreds of years to get to the state it is at the moment, which is kind of a hybrid between classical violin body. But it has some differences in the fact that they use different tunings on top, so they don't just use the normal violin tunings. But underneath the instrument, I actually have the instrument here that Knut gave my teacher, Tom Anderson. I can play you, there's four understrings, and these are tuned also in different systems. But here you go, this is them. That beautiful ba-da-da-da. You might remember Grieg got a little bit inspired by that one. Morning, you can hear his beautiful tune there.
And we're going to hear a wedding march. There's a real tradition of wedding marches in Norway. Often, in my experience, they always seem to sound rather sad. But this one is one of the exceptions. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so this is called Müller Guten's Wedding March. It really is one of Knut's legendary pieces that he plays. In his own version, he uses variation to create his own version of this melody. But it is kind of a sad tune. Supposedly Müller Guten, the man who wrote this tune, he was in love with a lady called Kari, and he never got to marry her. And there's one section where you can hear him saying, Kari, 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 in the low section of this piece. It is just absolutely stunning. Thank you.
Millaguten's Brudermarsch. That's the bridal march by Millaguten and played there by Knut Buen, Hardanger fiddle player from Norway and this week's classic artist. And I'm joined by Katrina MacDonald, Shetland fiddle player, who knows Knut very well. In fact, we both met Knut at around about the same time when I was about 13. Katrina, you were about 11 years old, I think.
I was at the very first Shetland Folk Festival. And there you were playing your Northumbrian pipes. I was trying to get a few tunes out of the fiddle. And there was this amazing, legendary Hardanger fiddle player who just blew the whole festival away. It really was, it was like something that we'd never heard before, this music. It was so complex and so otherworldly.
It was the first time I'd ever seen a Hardanger fiddle. I'd just never encountered one before. And in fact, that very first one that I saw is the one that you now have, because Knut was presenting it at that time to your teacher, Tom Anderson.
Tom and Knut just hit it off. I mean, you can remember that. They had a lot of fun together. And so this fiddle was really symbolising trying to reconnect these old Norse roots that they both felt were underpinning the old types of music and things. So it's called the Viking Fiela, and I was given it when Tom died. He bequeathed it to me with the big caveat that I was to go immediately to go and study with Knut, of which I did for a whole summer, and I have never laughed so much in my whole entire life. He filled me full of pancakes and waffles and learned me quite a few tunes in the fortnight I was there. And we've been great friends ever since.
I'm going to play a track from their Ringing Strings album with Knut Buen and his brother Hauk, who I also remember was at that first Shetland festival when we were much younger than we are now. And the title translates as the Parson's Dance. And just before we play that one, I'm going to play a Shetland tune called Maggie O'Ham. Now, Katrina, you didn't know I was going to pick this one. Tell me about this track.
I'm actually playing on this track. So it's Knut and Tom and Hauk and myself and Debbie Scott from Shetland as kids. And Maggie O'Ham is a tune from the island of Fula in the west side of Shetland, the west coast of Shetland. Very, very outlying, magical island itself. And Maggie O'Ham was a character and a half that kind of lived there. But it has some of the kind of mode in this music. It does, it sits, and you can feel that there is something that resonates with the music that Knut plays too. And this tune really shows that crossroad and connection.
So, Maggie O'Ham and then the Parson's Dance.
Thank you.
This week's classic artist, Norwegian hardanger fiddler Knut Buen, playing the traditional dance tune Prestegangeren, and with his brother Hauk also playing fiddle. Thanks to Katrina McDonald for joining us to talk about Knut. Some really great memories there for me. And I'd just like to say that at age 72, Knut Buen is still going strong. In fact, he released a new album, The Sound of Telemark, a couple of months ago, which I'm looking forward to listening to. That's with harmonica player Sigmund Groven. And that's about it for Music Planet this week. Next Saturday, we're having a special Celtic Connections edition. The festival is happening virtually this year, and I'm very sad not to be up in Glasgow, but from the comfort of my home in Northumberland, I'll be linking up with four-piece group Gnos and Gaelic singer Kathleen McInnes, so join us for that. I'll leave you now, though, with the mournful and beautiful sounds of Cape Verdean singer Celina Pereira, who died last month at her home in Lisbon. She hailed from the island of Boa Vista, and it was in the late 1970s, really, that she became famous. She'd moved to Portugal in 1970, but never forgot her roots in Cape Verde. Here she is, singing the Morna na Confissão. It's a love song to the West African islands by someone now living far, far away. See you next week. Goodbye. Ele testemunhar minha confissão, ele sabe de verá toda minha paixão. Um tempestela cabo verde, dez grãozinhos de terra. Ele testemunhar minha confissão, ele sabe de verá toda minha paixão. Um tempestela cabo verde. Já tem ninguém que crê Cabo Verde, mas cheio que mim. Cá tem alguém que tá mais ansente, mais do que mim. Me jam provar, na fiz magoado, moro na São Sente. Teu Cabo Verde não tá me crente, mas sim que mami, e até que mami. Cá tem ninguém que crê Cabo Verde, mas cheio que mim. Cá tem alguém que tá mais ansente, mais do que mim. Me chamo provar, na fiz magoado, moro na São Sente. Teu Cabo Verde também cresceu, mas sim que mami, tem que mami. Moro na baita rolar, fala clás, coxa muito, o moia teu, maravilha. Mas assim que uma Cabo Verde é só Cabo Verde. Morna baita rolar, fala clás, coxa muito, o moia teu, maravilha. Mas assim que uma Cabo Verde é só Cabo Verde. Morna baita rolar. Um coche muito, o moia teu, maravilha. Sim, como o Cabo Verde é só Cabo Verde. Morna baita rolar, um fala clar. Um coche muito, o moia teu, maravilha. Mas sim, como o Cabo Verde é só Cabo Verde. A song from Cape Verde, sung by the late Celina Pereira, ending today's Music Planet. It was presented by Catherine Tickell and produced by Michael Rossi. This is BBC Radio 3 and the time is 5 o'clock. It's time for J to Z.
Hello and welcome. I'm Jumoke Fashola, and on the show today, an exclusive home session from uber trendy guitarist Lionel Luecke. But we'll kick off with music from Venezuelan pianist Edward Simon. From his latest album, 25 Years, a look back at his career so far, this is Triumphs.